What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm going to be on with Barry Laminack tonight on the Barry Laminack Show. 7 o'clock. I don't know. Maybe Barry, send me, if you're listening, send me the info. How people can listen to it or watch us. We'll be on at 7 o'clock tonight. So,
yeah, it was fun doing the show with him. It was just completely unfiltered. It's a fun time.
So you get to swear?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, f yeah.
It's This is going to be. You guys want to check this out for sure?
Did you
get John unfiltered? You know, see, people haven't heard you unfiltered. See, here's the thing. When I did off script, and me and Eric are bringing back off script, our first guest is going to be Chris Ballard, so we'll get we'll go off script with him. But I don't think we're going to release it until next Tuesday. We're going to tape it this Thursday. But when I started doing off script, when I was off the air, I was just, you know, I was regular. I could cuss, I could do whatever because it's a podcast. And people who are just used to hearing me on radio, John, they would kind of. Like, oh, this feels weird hearing you use that language. Well, now they're about to get that a little bit of that with John Granato, I'm thinking.
Well, a lot of people feel like I'm swearing when I'm even not. I think maybe just the way I talk or something. I don't know.
Well, you say things that are blatantly inappropriate, so people always are a little uncomfortable when you say things.
Good point,
so
Dale.
Well, tough tis nitties, Dale.
Well, like that right there.
Example.
So people are always, they're going to have that same feeling. Man, I don't know if John should have said that. And that's what the show is all the time.
Well, here's something that maybe I shouldn't say. But Lamont has been sending this to us. And maybe this is something Marty can memorize, Lance. Here is the website that you can snitch on businesses that maybe are a restaurant at full capacity or too many people gathering in a store, or whatever the case may be, there's a website now that you can go to where you can snitch on people that are breaking the social distancing laws. Well, yes. Not laws, but rules.
Lena Hidalgo put it out there like, if you are looking to do some snitching, we got you.
Yeah.
Please come out and snitch.
So bit.ly/COVID-form1.
Yeah,
make sure Marty has that down.
Yeah, it's a link, but when you click on the link, there's nothing there. So I'm not. It's the only thing it says, this form is currently unavailable. So
maybe she took it down because she got too much, because she got ratioed.
Well, is it her who creates that? I don't think she does that unilaterally. It's like, all right, let's create a website where people can tell on people. That's got to be something that's. People come together for that. So I get it. She tweets it out, so people are all angry. But that's not something that she creates by herself, is it?
As the county judge, it might be. I mean, in conjunction with, it might be her decision. Look, I don't – if there's rules, you should follow the rules. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting the rules to be followed. I heard about – I'm not going to say the name of the place, but I heard one place was packed. Like, they were like, F your rules. If we get it, we get it, and we don't care. And if people get it at our restaurant, we don't care. And I've heard it was really, really bad this weekend. So I don't know. I think if you got some rules in place, you know, I don't think it's terrible to follow the rules. Now, the snitching thing got people after her on Twitter, but that's kind of y'all's job to go find that thing out as opposed to have people running around snitching, I think.
Well, I just want to make sure Marty's.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, well, I think that's what she was saying. I think it's the job of you know, Harris County to get out and say, hey, this needs to be enforced. We were in, so me and my wife were in Costco yesterday, and there are guys who will walk around. Like, I didn't see him, and then all of a sudden I noticed one guy pop out, and he's got a mask on. He works there, and he's got a social distancing sign. And it's almost like to remind people, hey, you are getting a little bit too close to each other. And there was a couple guys walking around the Costco with that sign just to remind you and make you a little bit more aware.
Yeah. But I'll tell you where you want to go where they are obeying all the rules, and that's Bike Barn. Holy crap. It's a half hour. It's 45 minutes to wait or more to wait in line. Have you gone to Academy and seen the bikes there?
There's none.
None.
There's none. I went and bought a bike myself, but I don't want to talk about it because I don't want mine stolen. But I went and actually got a bike. Was yours gray and red?
No.
Okay. See, I didn't steal yours.
Okay.
So I went to Academy. Nothing. I mean, there was nothing for adults.
Zero.
It was unbelievable. So I went to Sun and Ski. Little more expensive. So I went to Sun and Ski. I had to wait outside, and it wasn't because there was a lot of people. They just do one person per one salesman, and that's it.
Right.
There was like five people in the whole building. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And then I got my bike, and right as I'm checking out, I almost said, hey, do you guys know Gilbert? But then I realized I don't care, and I didn't want to even get in that conversation, so I didn't say it. I thought,
you know what?
I'm a self-censor, not ask about Gilbert, and get out of here with that conversation.
Gilbert's probably going to go, hey, when you go there, drop my name. Okay.
Yeah, you could have got a deal. You want an explanation for why they're a little bit more expensive? Their advertising budget. They pay that dude to do live spots.
Right.
So they got to make it up some way.
Yeah. No. And Gilbert's like, hey, you went to Sun and Ski and you didn't give me the credit for it? That's my client.
Gilbert's been like, I've been listening to you guys for like 20 years talk about, hey, well, if you go here, mention Granada or Zerline, and you couldn't do that for him?
Went out one time? Yeah, if somebody goes to Chastang and doesn't say, hey, John sent me, I'm going to be pissed.
But Gilbert didn't send me.
Yes, he did.
No, we sent Gilbert there.
Or subconscious, not even subconsciously. You know how many times Gilbert has said Sun and Ski on this show?
Yeah. No, and he did do a commercial for them one time. I get the feeling they don't really care if Gilbert keeps promoting them, to be honest, because they know it's going to eventually cost them. And their bikes cost... Their bikes are really good quality. I'm not saying they're not, but they are. I just don't know how much bikes cost because I hadn't had one for years and years. But I'm like, oh, this is a. And the guy said they're running out of bikes.
Well, and yeah, now they could charge. The guy said to me yesterday, he goes, yeah, we just got this in. Here's the price. I was like, oh, wow. I guess how did you come up with that price? Just whatever we want to charge, we can put on it because there was a line of like 40 people waiting to get in to buy bikes. I mean, apparently, if you're in a pandemic, the only thing you're able to do is ride a bike.
Sorry, I've got so many questions. Like, if Gilbert was actually their ad person, like the guy who they went to promote their product. Do you think, because you guys know the deal, sometimes you are a part of writing the script and maybe you make edits after you get it from the account exec. Do you think they were like, hey, Gilbert, just write whatever. We'll hear it. We'll get back to you. If Gilbert started off with, if a black guy stole your bike, I've got the perfect place for you. And do you think Sun and Ski Sports is like, yeah, we're going to have to write your 60s for you now because we can't give you free reign.
Wait. They got to have a make good on that one.
Every time. Because if he leads in with that, look, we appreciate their enthusiasm. We love what you do for the company. But could you please stop attributing all your bikes being stolen to one segment of the population?
We're trying to sell bikes to everybody.
Yeah. Sun and Ski Sports is like, black people buy bikes too.
Yeah. Okay. So
pull a Jordan.
So I want to get into that too. We got a little time right now. So I was glad that they addressed that because that is one area where a lot of people are going to hit Michael Jordan. But well, he has been hit on that, and it's from a social consciousness standpoint.
He and Tiger both,
they're very, very similar in that way. And you can look at it now. And I'll say this. It was very different then when Jordan was out because it was not quite as openly divided in the general public in terms of – I mean, there was obviously differences politically, but it was not like it was today. And there was not the – easily the good guy side for Jordan where Jordan says, okay, I'm going to say this and everyone's going to – and everyone's going to like and retweet what I say. It wasn't like that. So when Jordan – now, Jesse Helms was deplorable to me.
Yeah.
Jesse was a terrible person.
That's more of a point, I think, than anything.
That's like it should have been an easy one for Mike. But Michael Jordan back in that day was trying to –
Get his bag.
That was a big part of it, yeah. But I think him being a role model for him meant not rocking the boat at all. Yeah. I don't think Michael Jordan wanted to rock the boat at all, which is why when his image was kind of tarnished with all the gambling stuff, it pissed him off so bad.
Well, I agree with him. Hey, I don't know the African American candidate. I'm not going to speak for. And you know what? That dude, if he's got some character flaws or anything happens, hey, Mike, that's your guy. Well, really, I didn't really know him. And endorsing somebody like that in a political arena is kind of dangerous. Now, what Mike might have done was, hey, I don't know. All I know is I ain't voting for Jesse Helms. That might have been an approach that he could have taken. That's all I know. Because in sticking your head in the sand the way Mike did, it looked bad for him in the community. It really did. It was a black eye for him. I remember it. Republicans Buy Sneakers too was famous then, and you know it just showed that Mike. And it showed maybe a selfish side of Mike or a greedy side of Mike that, you know, I don't want to get involved in. But why should we ask these guys, why should we ask our athletes to get involved in that? I mean, honestly, when LeBron does it, and we see with stars, we see with movie stars, you know, the last thing I want to hear is what a movie star thinks of any kind of policy or anything that we're doing in America. That's the last thing I want to hear.
I think some of it has to do with because these guys have reached a level that for a time African-Americans weren't capable of reaching, whether it be in those meetings or in those rooms with people or having the influence that Michael Jordan would have if he actually had an opinion on things. They're looked at, hey, we can't do that, so we're going to need you to speak for us because you have a sway that not a lot of people who look like you do. So I think as far as Mike is concerned and LeBron is concerned, whether that's a pressure they feel or it's an artificial thing that's not really there for them, that is kind of where that comes from. Like, man, you are one of the few who can talk to people like that, who make those decisions and influence things. We need you to say something. I mean, I think that's some of it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. We need you to stand up for... Yeah, our community that is not as well represented as it should be. I get it, but is that Mike's job? Is that Tiger's job?
No.
Well, Mike could have. But when you can make a difference in child labor law or for child labor for Nike and the sweatshops and stuff like that, you know, it's not stepping into the political thing. That's a choice that Michael Jordan can make, and I don't begrudge him doing that necessarily at the time where he was in that. I don't begrudge somebody for doing it. I think it's their choice. It's their personal choice. Mike speaking out and saying, hey, if I'm going to be represented by Nike and speaking for Nike, you know, we need to stop that. I legitimately think Michael Jordan did not give one bleep about rocking any boats. As long as his money came in, he was good with it. I mean, he didn't even rock the boat for Scottie Pippen. Jordan was making over $30 million he was at one point in his career. Toward the end, and Scottie's on this awful deal. Jordan's like, man, you got to play your contract, Scottie. I mean, he wasn't even trying to help Scottie. He wasn't even trying to put pressure on the Bulls. He was about his contract.
Yeah. No, but that said, Scottie ended up making more money than Mike ever did. You know, and
with that Bulls team, he didn't.
Not with the Bulls, he didn't, but
he didn't
in his
start
career.
Making his money until he got that contract from the Rockets. It didn't last long.
Right, right. That lasted him fumbling the ball out of bounds against the Lakers. Nice job, Scottie. You suck. 8:15 ESPN 97.5. I want to talk about someone who's great, and that's HRP. Man, here at 97.5, we at Gal Media, we love HRP. And you will love HRP as well because HRP is going to take care of. Did your small business loan, did it come through? Did your payroll company take care of it for you? Did they do all the legwork? Did they answer all your questions? Are they taking care of you as you're heading back into business? Are they taking care of – are you aware of all the new laws, all the ways that you can get tax cuts from the government? Are you aware of all of these things? Because if you're not, And if you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, then there's one. And then we got a lot of HR decisions right now as well because of a lot of firings and a lot of stuff going on. You know what? If you're not with HRP or if you're not with a payroll company that is taking care of you on all of these things, then you need to get with ours. HRP.net, we love them. Call up to the station and ask Laura about HRP, and she will give you the lowdown. I've asked her about it. She's like, they are super. They are fantastic. And you'll find that too. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick. However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. As if this doesn't go on all the time. You see the Saints and Panthers story about Stevens, the quarterback from Mississippi State?
Yeah. It was interesting. I read that, so I had to write up Stevens because he was one of the guys that I decided not to write up. So I had to write him up over the weekend. And he's not going to be a quarterback. They're trying to make him Taysom Hill 2.0. I mean, that's
right.
But it was really interesting to see Sean Payton basically get pissed off at the agent and the kid for ghosting them on text. And he's like, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go get a seventh-round pick, and I'm going to draft you since you guys – you know, well, tell the whole story, I guess, John, so people know what we're talking about.
So they're trying during the draft. They're trying to get a hold of his agent, and his agent wasn't talking. And apparently, the Panthers already had a deal with Tommy Stevens, and they had a deal, and they were going to sign him as an undrafted free agent. Well, that's when the Saints called the Texans and said, "We want your seventh round pick," and so they traded with the Texans for next year's sixth. And they grabbed Tommy Stevens with the pick. They said, okay, watch this. You got to deal with the Panthers? Guess what? You're going to be a Saint. And so Sean Payton admitted that afterwards. He said, yeah, we knew that the Panthers had a deal with him, so we were trying to get a deal with him, and so we just said, oh, we got to take him. Let's make a trade, and we'll take him. Well, the league's like, hey, shut up over there. It's self-snitching. Here's more self-snitching, Lance. You're not supposed to negotiate or have a deal with any players for free agency during the draft. Now,
that's happening. Do you know that they said this year more than ever it was? Now, the agents don't like doing it. Here's why. The agents don't want any connection. So I asked about this. I said, so are you guys – ask an agent. Are you guys having to deal with – I would imagine now because there's so few guys who didn't go to combine expected to be drafted – this is at an all-time high where you guys are already getting deals done in advance. They go, no, we don't want deals in advance because we want to keep all options on the table in case they do get drafted. You don't want to deal in advance because something bigger could come up. You don't want to make a promise because then you could piss off a team, and these are teams you still have to negotiate with in the future. And so what happened was they kind of had one. You know, the Carolina Panthers really went hard. Matt Rhule wanted Stevens. So did the Saints. Saints view him as a bigger Taysom Hill. Tommy Stevens, a quarterback. He came from Penn State. He played 1 year at Mississippi State. He had 11 touchdown passes, 6 interceptions. But he's 230-some-odd pounds, and he can run. He's big. He's a big dude who can run. And so the offer initially was like $14,000. It was something really – it's what I'm used to. It was what I'm used to seeing with these priority free agent numbers. Well – then the Saints started trying to up it, and then they really kept pushing, saying, listen, we don't want him to get away. Hey, Tommy Stevens, hey, his agent, we really want – what's the latest? I mean, we want to move this number to $144,000 guaranteed, which is basically a draft pick. which is basically you have now drafted him. And they stopped communicating. They said, and the agent said, okay, let us think about it. We got to think about it. We'll get back with you. And then they ghosted the Saints. They weren't answering Peyton's text. They weren't answering his calls. Neither one of the guys were. And then he got pissed off. Sean Payton said, oh, okay, that's what you're going to do? Well, how about this? Now you just don't have a choice. So he went and got a seventh-round pick from the Texans, gave up a sixth next year, which is smart by Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, by the way. And so he got his guy, and he drafted him. He goes, hey, now you're on our team. Sorry. And the agent immediately, like, hey, no hard feelings. We just had a – and Tommy Stevens, you know, got on the phone with Sean Payton and said, listen, I just gave my word. I did not want to – there was no hard feelings about that. They said, no. He goes, my competitive juices just got boiling where I was like, okay, I'm going to win this one. I'm going to win this matchup against – and so apparently Joe Brady sent a – did you see that one? Joe Brady sent a text back to Pete Carmichael, who they're friends still with the Saints, and he sent a text like, F you. Like, it was a friendly, like, go bleep yourself, because they both wanted the same guy.
That's funny. Well, I mean, they're going to have an abundance of riches over there in Taysom Hills, apparently, because they got Taysom Hill. They got him locked up now, so apparently they're all in on this quarterback slash, you know, slot back slash tight end slash whatever he can, you know, whatever he can do. That the future of the league, Lance?
Well, we're going to find out if he can catch the ball. Like, I don't know that I see Tommy Stevens. We'll see. I didn't see a real physical runner, because my guess is some of what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to be physical. You're going to have to go get the short yardage stuff, the zone read stuff, and then we'll see if he can catch a football. I don't know if they know if he can catch football, because you couldn't bring him in for a 30-minute work. Like, if you brought him in for the workout, you'd have no doubt. The first thing you're doing is throwing passes to him. It is pro day. Tons of throws. And they didn't get a chance to. Mississippi State didn't have a pro day. So I don't know if he did any of that at Mississippi State. My guess is no, because then you ask coaches in practice, did you ever have him catch any passes? My guess is the answer was no, they didn't have him do that. So I don't know if Tommy Stevens is going to fit into this role just because he's a big athletic guy.
Yeah, well, you gave up a seventh rounder for him if that doesn't
work
out.
Yeah, no. It's a smart move. Taysom Hill, just people throwing Taysom Hill's name out there like Jalen Hurts can be a Taysom Hill. No, he can't. Taysom's a better athlete than Jalen Hurts. Taysom is a wiggle athlete, kind of like not to the same extent as Julian Edelman and like Randall L, but because he's a bigger dude. But Taysom is a legitimate explosive athlete. And Jalen is more of a power athlete like Tebow was, lower body athlete. Taysom is a foot quickness athlete.
Well, but Taysom, always, what I remember him at BYU was just he would take a beating. He was going to hit you. He's physical on top of being a pretty good athlete. Now it cost him because he got injured so often. But, man, that dude is physical and he's got some wiggle. So, yeah, but now Jalen's got some wiggle to him, though.
I mean, if we're talking about just speed, Taysom's a legit 4.4 guy. So,
yeah, people sleep on that.
And Jalen's about a high 4.5, almost 4.6, 4.9, or 4.59. So that's the difference in terms of explosiveness between the two. But, yeah, Jalen's the guy. He's probably certainly more athletic than Tebow, but I don't. Yes. I think Taysom Hill, we've seen Taysom Hill out in the past game. Alabama tried to sneak Jalen onto the field in his last year there, but there is a difference between the two as far as athletic ability.
Yeah. No. Taysom's a hell of an athlete. We'll see if Tommy Stevens is. I don't know.
Go ahead, John.
826 ESPN 975-713-780-3776. I was just talking about Doc Linville early in the show, and Denise, who works for him, was listening to the show, and she said, I love the shout-out for Doc Linville. Well, Denise is one of the people that you're going to meet when you go over and you get your your consultation and you get your neo-grafting at Doc Linville's. And you're going to love all the people there. They are fantastic. They couldn't be nicer. And the whole process is just fantastic. And if you're looking for a great way to have hair again. Now, guys, it can't be thinning. But here's Doc can do the PRP, too. He can use your blood. He can, you know, he can inject it into your scalp, and it can help create more hair for you if you're thinning. But if you had a big bald spot, the divot out of the back of your head, the 9-iron divot like I did, well, then the doc is here for you as well. And the neografting can't be easier. The whole process is fantastic. You are going to love everything about it. It's so simple. It's safe. It's so much less painful than the other way that they used to do it. The neografting is the future, and you are going to love the process of getting your hair. That's 975hair.com. Doc Linville does an unbelievable job. You'll love everything about it. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Looking at a story here about the Miami Dolphins, how they, you know, I don't know, this probably could work. They don't want to herd people in and out of the stadium. You know how everybody just goes in at the same time. The Dolphins are saying you could have gates at a certain time. People can go colored spots on the ground leading up to entrance gates to designate the distance between fans as they file into the stadium. All of these things, they said they might be down to 15,000 fans for the next season as they adjust to a different setup. I was thinking about it, and you know, you could actually do it. Separate every a third of the fans in the stadium. Let's say there's 75,000 seat stadium. The Texans have what, 70? 75,000 seat stadium. You could do 25,000, but it would take algorithms or whatever, or however you can do it. Let's say the first row, you got your two seats together, and then you have to separate by two groups. Then you have two seats together or four seats together, whatever it is. But those people are together in their group. And then you would do that throughout the building and stagger them row by row in that way that you could possibly get people actually separated from each other and keep people separated from each other in that you could have maybe a third of the building. It would take quite a bit. And like you said, you can't all just leave at once. And, you know, as we leave stadiums all the time like that, you just couldn't do that. And, you know, you'd have to leave in an orderly fashion. But it's a possibility that we could actually get fans. Now, they'll be drunk and probably. And how about going to the bathroom? Do you have to go row by row to go to the bathroom? And how do you'll have to separate standing in line for the bathroom. But it'd be a third of the people, so the lines wouldn't be nearly as bad. There's a way that we could actually do this to start with.
What?
That way.
Well, yeah.
Separating and keeping seats, you know, you'd have to be able to sell only certain seats.
So,
and they would mark seats for each game. And then the next game, the people that weren't there the week before, the third, and then the next week, the other third, they could go to their seats. So everybody that has season tickets could actually get a third of the games.
So this is the problem. Is I know we all saw the numbers. NFL teams are going to lose $100 million on average, $100 million if there were no fans. So there has to be fans, because if they lose $100 million, that's $100 million out of the kitty. And we're talking about $100 million per team, so that's money out of the coffer of the players. So there's going to have to be fans in the stadiums, like you said. 25% capacity is probably not going to be enough. A third makes a lot more sense. They are going to play probably to less. Here's what cannot happen. What cannot happen is no football is played, because if no football is played, then the losses in sports will go to $24 billion, and the amount of carryover is going to be so substantial that people are going to say, why in the world did we ever do this? We should have just powered through and blah, blah, blah. We'll hear that. They cannot not play football. And the NFL for sure will play. There's no doubt in my mind about they will do, hey, if you get sick, then you're out, whatever. The NFL is going to play. What's going to be interesting to me is college, because I could see where you'll have people on college campuses will say, you know, well, we're going to protest that players shouldn't have to play unless they're being paid. By the way, I have a question for you about this. This came up with an agent buddy of mine. But we, me and an agent and a guy who listens to the show for a long time, who I've known for a long time, Craig B., we were all arguing back and forth on a text stream. And how much was JT? I don't think people know how much some of the stipends are. I'll tell you a story in a second. If I were to tell you, so livable wage, the example of livable, I think livable wage is considered $36,000 to $42,000 in that neighborhood right now is what's considered livable wage. I'm not saying it's optimal, but I think it is considered livable wage. Rodney's name. Rodney and I were talking, and he said, Lance, you wouldn't believe how high some of the stipends are.
JT got $900 a month.
At his school. Now,
well,
Rodney.
At both schools. Both schools got. He got. It was like. It was a. I think that's pretty. I don't know that that's pretty common.
It's,
but I think,
it's not. It's not common. I'll tell you why.
Well, here's the deal, too, though. I think he ate there. So, okay. Yeah. It could be.
That might change.
Yeah.
So here's what. So he had one player who he ended up signing who was at Memphis, Antonio Gibson. His was. $1,200. His was $1,200. He had another player that was at Memphis. He had another player who was in the Big 12 whose stipend was $3,500 per month. He has recruited guys, and it comes up about stipends. And, you know, when agents have players, they end up paying for their boarding, their housing, their room and board, their training. They pay for everything from the time that January hits, basically, all the way through the combine. They're paying for where they live. They pay for their food, and they give them a stipend. And there are players who are upset that if you offer them a stipend of $2,000, which you're having your room and board completely taken care of and your training, and their whole argument is, I'm getting $3,000 to $4,000 from the colleges. I need to get $4,000 for my stipend because that's what I was getting in college, which is obviously a ludicrous argument. But he told me there are some guys who make more than their parents from college who get paid that with a stipend. And he said there are some schools where you're getting like 40 G's a year to go play if you have that stipend. Now, I asked him, I said, what determines the stipend amount? I said, are they all the same? He goes, no, because Memphis was at like $1,200. And so I don't know what determines the amount. I don't know which students get it. I don't know how any of that works, but I'm very interested because my guess is that some guys get paid way more than people realize with the stipends. And that's not to mention the under-the-table stuff for some of the guys. But the stipend numbers for some are really high. Some it's not.
Yeah, I don't know what the stipend rules are. We can ask I can ask Pez what they are, if it's different at different schools or what the – I thought it was supposed to be uniform, but maybe
I would
not.
Think it was going to be uniform, but I was told it is not uniform.
Don't know. But now you said paid by the schools. That's not the case either.
No, not the school, the NCAA, I guess.
Well, yeah,
well actually, but, who does it? Where does
no,
the stipend
well,
come
it,
from?
It's done in different ways. At LSU, it's done through their foundation. The sports, the TAF, their foundation pays for all the athletics, and then it's not associated with the school at all.
To answer your question about how they're determined, according to a CBS Sports article, it's cost of attendance determines stipends. Like if you go, if you're an in-state player, you're going to get less because it will cost less for you to go to that school. And you get more if Alabama recruits a kid from Louisiana, that kid's stipend would be more because if he was just a regular kid who went to Alabama, his attendance would be more.
So do you get the highest stipends at private schools?
I'm not sure how
that
works.
That cost more?
No, it costs more to live because you're out of state.
Well, no, I understand that. Does it have nothing to do? I thought what Dell initially said was, so it's only in-state, out-of-state.
According to this article, like, for example, they use Alabama. Now, this is back in 2015, so that they could very well be more, probably would be. Alabama's cost of attendance stipends will rank among the leaders nationally at over $5,300 for out-of-state players and over $4,000 for in-state players. That's what the university provided.
Well, you see, and how much does it cost to bring a whole family from Hawaii?
Well, I'm sure Tua's stipend was quite a bit more.
But let me ask you a serious question here. I think a lot of people would be shocked by those numbers from 2015. Yeah, because Alabama, it's super expensive to go to Alabama. What? $5,300. If you do the math on that, that is paying players. If somebody's getting $5,300, and I'm not talking about likeness or anything like that, we're talking about everybody, that is getting paid. $4,000 to $5,300 for a player, if I don't know if it runs through 12 months or not. I'm not sure if that's the case. But if you do the numbers on that, $48,000 while you're also having your college paid is you are getting paid.
$5,300 a month?
They didn't make that delineation.
Yes.
They didn't say a month. They just said that's how much the stipend is. So I'm not sure if it's
I can tell you what this one Big 12 school was. It was $3,500 a month.
I've not heard that. I don't know.
Is that higher than you thought? Are those numbers pretty shocking to you? I can tell you this. Those numbers are shocking to me. If I were to tell you that a player's getting $4,000 a month or $5,300 a month, that is getting paid. I don't think people know that.
If you type in stipend for student athlete, the article that comes from CNN 2015 says the stipends available at most of the country's major sports programs range from about $2,000 to $5,000 a year, not a month. This was from 2015. So yeah. I'm not sure.
If
that number was at 40K or whatever it might be, depending on the stipend, I think people would have heard about it, and maybe the knocking on the door for more money for kids would have gone away. I don't think, because remember what was his name who called themselves the Hungry Huskies? What's the kid's name? Shabazz. He's not a kid, grown man now. Shabazz Napier. When they won their title, how they couldn't eat and stuff.
Yeah.
If he was in the 40K range, I don't think he would have called his team the Hungry Huskies.
Right, right.
No, I think those numbers are off. But
I got to make sure I didn't misunderstand it. But like he was talking about how players didn't want, they were expecting to get a lot more than $2,000 a month for a stipend.
Well, maybe
I'll read. Let me see. Because I can't find any articles beyond. Everything's 2016 or earlier when you look for this. So I don't know. It's not talked about often. I do know that. It's rarely talked about. But JT gets 900 what for 12 months?
900 a month, and I believe it was 12 months because they work.
Well, that's 7,800. That's higher than what Dell was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I don't know. I thought it was uniform, but maybe not. 841 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here, if you want to drink some whiskey this morning, Lance has got the place for you.
Oh, man, Blackland Distillery. So I've been knocking the bottom out of these things. Their vodka has a nice sweet finish. It just won a Distiller's Award. The bourbon is one of the things that I think is a great way to introduce yourself to Blackland Distillery. And I went into a liquor store, and I think some of you have had this experience. Tell your liquor store, wherever you go, I don't care if it's a Specs or a Richards or a Total Wine or wherever. If you go there and they don't have Blackland Distillery, say, hey, I'd like for you guys to start carrying Blackland Distillery. It is, they're all distilled here in the state of Texas. And the guy who started this, is an incredibly accomplished person. And everything he does, he goes all in on. And the same thing for his distilleries. He does four different spirits, rye, bourbon, gin, and vodka. And the thing that separates him is the amount of time he puts into it and the processes. They use the most advanced processes to get the best taste out of every single spirit that they have. The bourbon, it has a creamy, smooth vanilla finish that I think you're going to absolutely love. And bourbon drinkers put on the cape for this one because they absolutely love what they can do, either drinking it straight or in a cocktail. Make sure that you go to the website if you want. You can find out more about them at blacklanddistillery.com or demand that your local liquor store carries Blackland Distillery.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Big ups to Jason Giambi. Over the weekend, he said that the sign stealing is no different than the steroid era, than the Peds.
Thank you.
Everyone is looking for an advantage. Baseball night in New York show. It's no different than the Peds. There's always going to be things going in this game when you're talking about people making a lot of money and wanting to win. And I would argue that the Peds was worse. It was widespread. It was rampant. It ruined more careers, way more careers than the banging did. Barry Bonds ruined more careers than the entire Astros team did.
Yeah, that's the weakest argument. There is no people who say that have an agenda. They cannot legitimately argue. The steroid era forced guys to use steroids if they wanted to stick around. It knocked pitchers and hitters out of the minor leagues, couldn't get up to the majors. It's the most asinine argument. And people who were actually fairly intelligent were trying to make that argument. And it's like, God, you guys have – you're so upset that you haven't even thought this through.
No. Doug Glanville, if you haven't read the Doug Glanville article, you have to read it about how he was forced out of the league by guys that were doing Peds because he couldn't keep up with the numbers. He just couldn't. And the numbers just changed the entire game. And it got guys who were clean – I mean, and I've talked about it before, Royce Huffman, a 300 minor league hitter. He got passed up by the Keith Ginters and the Morgan Ensbergs and all of these guys that went through the organization that were whatever, doing whatever, just to get up to the big leagues, and he stayed there because he was a doubles hitter. Those guys were hitting bombs, so they got up to the bigs.
I think we got to realize that the people who are taking stands on this are just dopey sports fans like the rest of us. Like even the guys who are put into exalted positions where allegedly their opinion matters, they're just sports fans with biases. For example, I mean, obviously one of the biggest Boston honks in the world is Bill Simmons. I guess there was a game on where a replay, because that's all you can see right now, of the A-Rod where he slaps the ball out of the first baseman's hands. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get to first base or whatever. And he calls him one of the biggest unadulterate shameless cheaters, whatever the tweet is. You know what's in his profile pic? A picture of Manny Ramirez, who was suspended for steroids multiple times. One of, I assume, Boston's heroes is Big Poppy, another steroid guy. These are just guys. These are just guys who love sports and are put in positions to talk about it. That's why their opinion doesn't mean that much, because they're just fans like everybody else.
Right. No, it's absolutely right. I mean, so hypocritical. Yeah, it's one of the biggest cheaters of all time. Manny Ramirez. It's guy after guy after guy after guy after guy. But you're going to stick your head in the sand. But this is where we're going to draw the line. What, really? This is where we're going to draw the line? It's okay to be flashing lights from center field and from the scoreboards about what pitch is coming. But, man, don't use technology. Do not use that video. Stop. It just pisses me off every single time that I think about it. And thank you, Jason Giambi, for actually being honest. I mean, that's a New York guy, right? And all these New York people are up in arms about the Astros. You live in a glass house, Yankee fan. You live in a glass house. 713-780-3776. Did you see the Astros not looking great, though, Lance, our team? Apparently last week there was an auction for a ring, an Astros World Series ring. And it was actually the proceeds were going to go to coronavirus relief efforts. So a team employee signed a contract, though, however, when he picked up his ring, that if he ever sold it, the Astros could actually buy back the ring for $1. They have the option to buy it back for $1 before they can sell it anywhere else. So the Astros bought back the ring for a dollar. The ring that was going to go for, I don't know, $6,000, $7,000, whatever it would have gone, or more, at an auction. That World Series ring, you know what? Now that the Astros are the Astros in that 2017, that 2017 ring might be worth even more now that this team is what it is. But it was going to go to charity and relief efforts, and the Astros bought it back for a dollar instead. Whoever's in charge of PR for the Houston Astros is one of the piss. You're worse at your job than anyone I've ever seen. I mean, the initial bid up for it was $7,000. They were hoping that they could get about $60,000 for the ring and for relief efforts, but the Astros got it back for a dollar.
You will not put this on eBay or some type of public transference network where you can buy and sell different types of memorabilia from our championship. So good day, sir.
Good day, sir. Yeah. Somebody asked if Maddie, when she was walking out after she was pissed off about Adam and Eve, did she drop a good day, sir, on you?
She should have, because she slammed the door when she stormed out. She couldn't have been more pissed at us. Like, how is this funny that Adam and Eve don't get snitched on? How is this funny? We're supposed to tell. Like, man.
Man.
Yesterday, my daughter retweeted Lena Hidalgo. If you see anybody with over 25%, my daughter's like, retweet, like, thank you. And then
you.
She immediately got on her scooter and started, foot pedaling her way down the street to go see what she could find out, see if anyone was over 25%, and immediately go snitch on them.
Speaking of which, did you guys see the pictures of New York within the park?
I heard it was crazy.
It was insane. Apparently there was like, not apparently, there were pictures. And one guy said, well, I was going to check this out to see if it was Photoshopped. It was stupid how many people were just hanging around in the park, all next to each, just packed, like like an outdoor concert.
Did they have the masks on? I would imagine a lot of
nobody's wearing a mask. And somebody tweeted out, thank God I've been hibernating for and social distancing for 6 months and staying inside my home for you guys. Because as soon as they said, okay, you can go outside now, everybody's all congregating all together again.
And they're not even fully open. Like, that plan is in place for, like, mid-May, where things will kind of get back to normal. People are like, the sun's out. It's a nice weekend. You're not keeping me inside.
Dude, no one's wearing masks. John wasn't lying.
I saw the pictures. It's
now
crazy.
They do have some. There's some people who are spread out, and there's some others who are together, or a little closer together. Probably came from the same house or whatever. But dang, man, that's kind of. I've heard that. So I've heard from a few people that Memorial Park gets pretty jammed up. That Memorial Park ain't no punk either when it comes to people jamming that place up, and it has been for a little bit.
I don't know. I haven't been there.
Hey, if anyone,
because that's where people exercise there or something.
Yeah. But people who are exercising,
I don't want.
It's some people ride bikes, but you can't now. But
I can't because I bought another one and it's up here and they're not going to steal it.
Oh, you're keeping it in your house now?
Yeah, I'm keeping it out on the balcony now. Yep.
You got to. So if anyone went out to dinner, I'm interested. Here's our number, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you went to dinner in a restaurant in Houston this weekend, I'm interested to hear how it went, what it was like. Describe how it went. I'm very curious to see. I talked to Ryan Lachane a little bit from Riel, and we were talking about the difficulties of 25% capacity. Like, restaurants are all going to fold if they have to stay at 25%. Financially, they can't do it. But
you know, it was funny because we went to Damaris for lunch on Friday because I figured it's going to blow up. People are going to be all. Was it Friday or was it Saturday? It was Friday. Anyway, so we go over to lunch there. And I was expecting it to be, a line and people want to get, I guess, can't wait to get. No. People are, I think, are saying, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm going to take this slowly. I'm not doing that. You know, the restaurant had just a few people in it. And I, you know, I asked Yanni about it. He said, "No, nah, people now they're still going through the drive-through, and he's doing great, you know. But people want to stay separate. They're just staying separate."
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Nick did. I was going to go by there and see him on Saturday, but I'd say he decided to go out with his wife instead, which I thought, well, that's stupid. You would rather spend a day with your wife than hang out with me and drink all day.
No, you didn't even have to continue with your part. You would rather spend a day with your wife. Yuck.
I know. Freddie's here. Uncle Freddie, what's going on?
What's going on? Hey,
what's up, Freddie?
I went to Galveston this weekend, and the social distancing in Galveston was not happening. I mean, well, we did go out to the Mosquito Cafe for lunch, and that was like they made you sanitize your hands. It was kind of odd, all the servers wearing masks, and they were doing a really good job, like two tables on the patio, four in the restaurant, and they had it pretty spread out. It was, you know, kind of awkward because just, you know, hey, sanitize this, sanitize that. They're wearing their masks. But then we went over to the spot. We're like, let's go grab a beer at the spot. I mean, that it was just jam-packed. There was the whole bar area. It was like, I think everybody who was out this weekend was in Galveston. It was packed.
It looked like there were tweets from all the cars lined up in Galveston, and then the motorcycles lined up. It was like the 4th of July weekend there.
No, it was nuts. And the rest, I mean, restaurants, I mean, they hit and miss, but like a lot of the bars on the seawall or a lot of the restaurant bars, we'll say, because I think there was more of a bar crowd there. They were, I mean, it was pretty packed, but we had a good time and we had fun. I never felt like worried or scared, but I don't know. It's just, I had to get out. It was a great time, great weather, so we had a lot of fun.
Well, I don't know if I'd want to be with that many people squeezed into a bar. I don't know. I went over to just stop by, rode my bike over to Luling's and had a beer with Margie and the folks over there. And she had the bar sits, I don't know, 16, 18 seats or whatever. She had five set up at the bar. That's all. That's all. You ain't stepping up to my bar and, you know, everybody's going to sit right next to each other. That just doesn't happen. Everybody was separated and it was, and I felt, you know, you felt like this is how you should start. That's the way you're supposed to do it. Not jam-pack everybody into a bar because they finally said, well, you can go out now. That's just, it's so unbelievable, people.
Yeah.
We're going to quarantine for 6 weeks and make sure that we don't touch anything and don't go where you're at. And then as soon as they say, well, we can open up a restaurant. What? No, slow down, okay? I'm all about going to a bar and a restaurant. I'm all about that.
Yeah.
But we need to take it slowly, okay?
Be sensible. Just be sensible. But you know how I look at this is like, okay, if people do this, and we are going to see a surge or a spike, it's going to happen. Hopefully people won't freak out. You just don't want it to overwhelm the medical. The reason you flatten the curve, flatten the curve was always going to extend this. It was going to make it last longer. But flatten the curve meant the curve is the amount of cases you have, which overwhelms the medical industry in your ability to take care of it. Well, because we did flatten the curve, and we have done it effectively in Harris County and really surrounding counties as well. But now when you flatten the curve, it just makes it last longer. So eventually people are going to get sick. This is going to happen. So when it happens, hopefully people won't freak out. You still follow the guidelines, do what you do. I'm really interested to see how the restaurant thing works out. Like, I'm not going, but I'm going to keep supporting by getting to-go orders. But if it works well, you know what I mean? I want to see how it works. And I know some restaurants are saying, we're really interested to see how this works out. We want to talk to our restaurant friends and find out, what did y'all do? How do you do this? How do you, you know, what are the ups and downs? They want to learn from other restaurants before they reopen.
Yep. All right. Raheel joins us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
He joins the fray.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
What defines Ohio?
A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.